The gospel lesson is chosen from the book of Mark, the gospel of Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. And this account of the gospel is also found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. And for this morning, instead of reading the whole paragraph or the whole text, I'm going to work through it. It's somewhat a narrative story, so it's good to journey through and travel as Jesus taught and his disciples, as well as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. So the verse that we need to focus of our time together is that if you're going to get lost somehow wondering about your past text, return whatever you worked on in April or the coming of an event in May and your mindset all over the place, just know that the key verse for this text in particular is within verse 7 and 8. And for you to follow along, we do have a sermon notes, and that's in the bulletin, so you can write down your thoughts and just don't write picture or don't draw pictures or scribble, whatever. But anyway, those sermon notes provide for you so that you can follow along and take some notes. Now, this morning we're going to talk about Jesus and inner purity. Basically, it's going to be Jesus, God, the Word, and hearts. It's inner purity is all about heart, right? So it's going to be the heart matter, and it's going to be about the Word of God. But looking at this story, and the more I dig myself into this and went into this verse and this story, I realized that this text is much about tradition. And I know I would not repeat the story that I shared a few weeks ago about the, filler on the roof that I write, the song tradition. It's much like that. We all have tradition. We have tradition, the things that we do, the way we drive, the way we eat, and the way we do things at home. In my household, growing up from a generation, I mean three generations, my grandparents, my father, my mom, and my generations, one of the traditions that we have is that you may not enter into the house with your shoes on. All right? You cannot go into your own house or someone else's house with your slippers or sandals or shoes on. So that's a rule that I still do that. I still practice it. And my family does and also practice that. So for me to bring in my shoes in the house, wear my shoes inside the house living room means no dinner for me. All right? That's how it goes. So that's a strict rule that we have. Now, I'm sure you have tradition, new rules, rituals in your family, in your household, and generation, maybe some of the things that you practice carry on the good things that you practice throughout generation, throughout the years. Now, in this particular context, and as Mark tells us about the story of Jesus and his disciples and about traditions, I want to let you know that Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is a book, a gospel that is filled with Jesus' teaching and Jesus' work, and it's called the Book of Miracles. The Gospel of Mark recorded more miracles than any other gospel. So you want to learn about miracles and the work of Jesus and his service? This is the book to dig in, the Gospel of Mark. And also, if you are not a procrastinator, if you are people who are like, man, I got to do it now, and you are like, I want to see it, I want to see things happen, you are a person of action, this is a book of action. Mark is like, started our story like immediately, instantly, right away. Jesus is on the move. He's doing things in the kingdom. He's working. He's serving God, and he's serving God's people and bringing the kingdom of God. No delay. But if you're a procrastinator, if you're like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it later, then you kind of want to work your way through, and you're going to, I may believe someday. Then you want to dig yourself into the Gospel of John, all right? John's like where we learn about Lazarus' story, where Jesus delayed for two more days when he heard his friend Lazarus was sick. You know the story, right? So all gospel is on purpose. It's great, great purpose and great meaning. And Mark is written to primarily an audience, the Christians in Rome. So most likely they were Gentiles and Greek. So a lot of stories and detailed explanation in this text that you see about the traditions, detailed explanations were given so that you and I, the non-Jews audience, can understand it. So are you following me thus far? And it is, by the way, the shortest gospel in the Bible. All right? So Mark. And first written. So Mark tells us this story. For the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law of the Torah, the Word of God, the Old Testament law, these Pharisees and teachers of the law, they came from Jerusalem on a mission. They were sent by the high authority to observe Jesus. So that's the setting right there. Now, I don't think that Jesus was surprised by it. I don't think that Jesus was shocked over the very fact that these Pharisees and the religious leaders are coming to him in this area, in particular, to observe him. Because nothing surprises Jesus. He knew from right the beginning to the end. He knows everything. So in verse 2, the problem, the setting. It said that some of the disciples were eating food with hands that were defiled, and that is unwashed. Now, mind you that Jesus and the disciples did not have dirty hands. This is not a hygiene or sanitary concern. But according to the Gospel of Mark, that in detailed explanation, that Jesus and the disciples did not follow the ceremonial washings of the traditional rules. So if they are there to practice this, according to the Mishnah and the words, the books that were written about rules and regulations, that there are specific style of washing hands, and the disciples and Jesus and disciples perhaps had to wash their hands in a certain ways and go through the process of washing hands and perhaps washing their feet, their fists, and the elbow or hands in a certain way. This has nothing to do with hygiene. In fact, it's been told that there is a ritual about washing the plates of pots and pans that you eat with. There are about 40 chapters in the Mishnah on how to wash ceremonially of the things that you use to eat. So this is not about hygiene, but this is about tradition. Jesus and the disciples were breaking the traditions. So, the problems. Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And whenever leaders or pastors or teachers said the word Pharisees and the word teachers of the law, we're going to think like, well, once again, we're going to hear some negative words about folks that are against Jesus. And here you go, here's one other example of just piling everything on Pharisees for all the bad things going on. In fact, if you study in details about these Pharisees and teachers of the law, these are the people that in our days, in our Christian day, this day, would be like the fundamentalist, okay? Some of us will be like, amen, Pharisee, amen, teachers of the law, for trying to love the Word of God, trying to preserve the law of Moses. See, they did everything trying to put to protect, to honor, to lift up the Word of God. And shall I dare say, these are the hardcore todays of, in our world comparison, ultra-evangelical, ultra-conservative. They're like, you don't watch PG-13 movies, so you might hear some curse word, right? You don't listen to those trash music because, or secular music, because trash may come into your mind, and because you're supposed to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So get rid of all those secular music, even Garth Brooks, all right? I'm sharing about my age and my knowledge of music. These are the ultra conservative of their days, trying to protect God's law with everything that they have by putting up fences around God's law. Are you following me? So, God gives them 10 commandments, right? For their good. How to have good relationship with God and how to have good relationship with neighbors. how to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. So God gave them those laws. But they add on everything so that they think they could possibly protect the God's given law by putting fences. And they have over 400 laws to add additional to God's given law, and perhaps more books, more commentaries, more little Bibles, so to speak, were written to protect God's given law. One example that in the Old Testament law, if you go to cemeteries or market, in the rituals and traditional understanding is that you will become unclean. Why? Because you may have contact with dead people. Cemeteries, that's where dead people are, right? So their law would say, don't go to cemetery, period. No reasoning. Because that's where the unclean, you may have a contact with the unclean things and dead people. And when you go to the market, when you come back from the market, you need to wash your hands thoroughly, not just for hygiene reason, but ceremonially, like you need to wash it according to the rules. So what happens is that these religious leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, replace God's law, God's given law, which is supposed to help people to get closer to God. That those God's given law, the Ten Commandments, you shall love the Lord your God, and also the most important law, loving God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and then loving our neighbors. Those laws are given so that we can get closer to God, that we can love God more. But because of what the elders, the Pharisee, and the teacher of the law did, all those laws that they built became a tradition, became a wall, a barrier for people to come to God. So this is what happened. Jesus and the disciples, sure enough, I don't know why they didn't wash their hands, do the ceremonial hands washing of that lengthy rituals and so forth. I don't know why. Perhaps Jesus knew that the Pharisees and the teacher of the law were coming and spying on him and observing him. Perhaps he did it on purpose so that he could teach what really, really mattered most. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's possible that prior to this text, that Jesus had fed the multitude, the 5,000 plus women and children, so it would be over 10,000, perhaps 20 to 25,000 crowd. He fed them, and he walked on water, and he performs so many miracles prior to this story, that maybe the Jesus and the disciples just tired to go through those ritual and those tradition, and they just want to eat, man, right? They're hungry. They just got to eat, so they sat down and eat. That's possible. But I have to say, I'm glad that they didn't wash their hands so that you and I can learn about what really, really matter to God and what can make us clean, what can make us pure before God. So the Pharisee and the teachers confronted Jesus by saying, Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with their defiled hands? Mind you, the questions that the Pharisees and the teacher of the law asked were not, why did Jesus break the Bible, the law of God, the Word of God? That wasn't the question. The question was, why do you, if you call yourself a rabbi, a prophet, a teacher, why didn't you follow the tradition that is so important to us, to our people? In fact, how important is this tradition? What did Jesus say about that? Jesus replied and said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, and it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Verse 7, they worship me in vain, and their teaching are merely human rules. These tradition means nothing to Jesus. Oh, Jesus is not all against traditions. Remember, Jesus went through circumcisions. Jesus went through the temple and dedicated. And Jesus celebrated the Passover. He is not all against traditions and ritual and rules that can help us draw closer to God. Tradition and rituals and rules that shine spotlights on the Word of God so that we can have life and we can experience the love of God. But Jesus is saying, your tradition, the tradition that you made up, it's going all wrong. Why? Because you, Jesus said, you, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you have replaced God's holy word with your tradition. You are worshiping God in vain. You are worshiping God by the external way of practice. It's all about the outward appearance. It's all about what you do and what you don't. It has nothing to do with God's word. It has nothing to do with the heart of God. See, he's drawing them back to what really, really matters most. That is about our hearts. That is about our soul. That is about our inner being. Being changed, being transformed by the Word of God, the living presence of God, not by the rules that we set up, not by our tradition, not by our even biblical interpretation, not by our theology, our doctrines, not by our social standing, not by our political party belongings, not even by our denominations. Those things don't matter to God. They are important at certain degrees, but not important enough to replace the Word of God. That's what the Pharisees and the teacher of the law were doing. That's what they did. They replaced God's Word with their traditions. Their traditions became as important as the Word of God, or more important than the Word of God. That's what Jesus was challenging as a response. In verse 8, he said, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. That's a no-no to God. Men and women, God has set us free. The Christian freedom is that we don't need to practice the external things. Now, I need to be careful by saying that. Most of world religions is based on doing things from the outside so that they can find their way to God. Are you following me? Okay. Their teachings, their philosophy, their doctrines are all about doing things so that you find your way to God. But Jesus, the Word of God, it's never about those traditions. It's never about those externalism, but it's about internal. It's a heart change. Your heart must be changed first by the Word of God. You must be forgiven. You must receive that grace and mercy and the goodness of God that flows through Jesus Christ, the Word of God. As you hear the Word of God, as you absorb His holy Word, then your heart is transformed from the inside and you live that out for the glory of God. It's not because you want to find your way to God that you do good things, that you uphold the traditions, but rather because you love God, because you have been changed by His Word, you observe His rules, His law, the Ten Commandments, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the heart matter. It is worshiping God from your heart. That's found in the Word of God. That is in Jesus Christ. And that's what He was telling the whole world. People, it's about your heart. God is interested most in your heart, your soul. Have you found? Have you been changed? Have you come to the Word of God, the living Word of God? Or are you like these folks in the back in the tradition, the Old Testament, and in Jesus' day, trying to cancel off all your guilt and your shame, trying to cleanse yourself by the things that you do from the outside and thinking that you will earn favor with God? Men and women, let me tell you, nothing that we do or nothing that we don't do can help us earn God's love more. It is in His grace, His mercy. It is in His living Word alone. We're not called to change God's laws, God's rule, His Word. We're called to obey it. We're called to hear it and to live it. And we're called to believe in His Word, that His Word is eternal life, not of our works. And so Jesus went on farther and said, you did those things you do, you thinking that you can find eternal life, you can be righteous, you can be made clean by the outside practices or those traditions. And in fact, Jesus said in verse 9 of Mark chapter 7, he continued in his sermon, he said, you have a fine way. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own tradition. Now he's now confronting the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You guys have such a neat way. This is the 2016 language, all right? He said, you have such a neat way to just sort of change God's word so that you don't have to obey it. Instead, you put your tradition above God's word. And how do you do that? He said, Moses gave you this law. For example, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to put to death. That's in Leviticus. That's how serious it was to violate that law. I'm glad I'm not bound by that law today. I would have been dead long ago. All right? I've been forgiven. I've been shown mercy. But you see, the law, if they did to obey the law, for Moses said that if you disobey, if you show disrespect, if you curse your father and mother, it's a death penalty. But you change that law but by saying, if you don't want to support your parents in their aging years, if you don't want to give financial help to your parents, and you just say, oh, it's Corban. That's the word that they use. They twisted the word of God. They changed the word of God by saying, oh, everything that I have is Corban. That means devoted to God. Everything I earn, everything I have, everything that I acquire is Corban, which means devoted to God. It's a deferred gift. It's a pledge to God. Therefore, you may not touch it. That I don't have to help my parents, my mom, my dad, those who are near and dear to my heart. And Jesus was saying, you change that law so that you can keep the cash, that you can fulfill your own desire. And that's what you were doing. In verse 13, Jesus said, you nullify the word of God by your tradition. Basically, he's saying, you void the word of God. You invalidate the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And Jesus confronted them by saying, and you do many things like that. Men and women, this is an encouragement and also a warning for us. The good news of Jesus Christ is that He paid it all. He had done it all for us. It is finished. He paid the price for for our sins, our guilt, our shame. And he brings his kingdom to earth. The good news of the gospel is both good news that we've been forgiven, and also it's good works through Jesus Christ, that life has been changed, that God brings his peace, his joy, his love to us, and that he gave us the Holy Spirit to do his work, that we are called to be like Jesus, to do the things that God is calling us to do. Not because we want to earn God's favor, but because we have been given that forgiveness, but because we have been given the joy of the Lord. We have been given that hope, that eternal life. Now it is our turn in return to live out in gratitude and thanksgiving and praise the kind of life that God called us to live. We're not called to change God's law because it's popular. We're not called to change God's law because our families happen to agree with it. We're not called to change God's law because the government is agree with it. We are called to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's why we do traditions. That's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's why we do baptism. That's why we go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he said, go and teach and preach to the nation. He called us to do his work. He called us to follow those traditions. But nothing is more important to God than following his tradition of love. It's a heart matter. Do you want to be pure? Do you want to be cleansed today? Have God's word come into your life. Be saturated by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the living word of God. Change your heart. Change your mind. Then, and only then, we will know. We will know what God's way is, who God is, what God wants from us. Oh, men and women, we can too be cleansed from the outside and have all those filth and guilt and shame still the inside, because we've never been changed by the word of God. You see, even preaching, even prayers, even singing music, even coming to church on Sunday, even serving God, that could still all be external things if you're doing all for the wrong reason. This is a hope and a warning. The hope is that we don't have to earn God's love. He's paid it all. The warning is that we worship God with the right heart, the right motive. We serve God from the inside out, from our heart, not from the things that we can gain from God. There are too many people that done that, is doing that, Christians and non-Christians, following God, trying to serve God for all the wrong reason. But we people are called to be the kind of people that God wants. The hearts, our hearts, our lives change. Changed by his word. Changed by his truth. His timeless truth and his timeless principle. Follow his tradition. Follow Jesus. You'll find God there. Thanks be to God. Amen.